of Lake Effect Now. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. The days have been getting shorter since mid-June, the summer solstice, but tomorrow it starts getting serious. Tomorrow is the fall equinox, the point after which night becomes a larger part of our lives than day.
Jean Creighton is our regular astronomy contributor, and she joins us now to talk more about the significance of the equinox. Hi, Jean. It is great to see you.
It's great to be here.
Happy fall.
Yay.
Yay. We were just talking off mic about how one of the best things about fall is getting to eat all those wonderful, hearty, comforting foods.
Yes.
Yes. And we can do that, of course, while we're looking at the night sky, but we're actually going to talk about something else. All summer, it was all about the eclipse.
Yes.
And it was pretty spectacular.
It was magnificent.
It was. Even though we didn't get totality here, it was still, I went downstairs and looked through the glass and it was like, oh. But tomorrow, actually, will be the fall, the autumnal equinox. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it would be a great thing to talk about that, what the differences between equinoxes and solstices are and why we mark them.
I think people are very invested and interested in light. So it's important to know where the kind of the markers in the year, the comforters, you know, if you had a hot summer, when the equinox, the autumnal equinox rolls around, you think, okay, at least now there'll be longer nights than days. Surely this is going to cool off. This is a little, I think, less relevant here, but in other parts of the world where it gets really hot, fall is a welcome change of pace. Then, as the nights go on, you realize that it gets bright later and it gets dark sooner, and this change becomes quite dramatic, I think, by November.
Particularly here.
Yes, at this latitude, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then eventually you get to that point in December where you think, wow, it's really dark a lot of the time. And you want that to stop. So you celebrate, of course, the solstice because you know, and solstice comes from standstill because the sun, as it appears in the sky, looks like momentarily it has stopped with respect to background stars. Now you might say logically, hey, wait a second, I can't see other stars other than the sun in broad daylight, but we understand well enough the mapping of the sky that we know that what is up, say at midnight, is going to be exactly opposite of where the sun is going to be. So you know where the sun is, you can infer where that is. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So that's when we realize, aha, yay, now the days are getting longer. And we celebrate that moment of light, especially in northern latitudes. Of course, in the southern hemisphere, it's the opposite. The days now are going to get shorter. So what's strange, confusing perhaps, is that even though the days are getting longer, and certainly by February that's a noticeable change, it still can be getting colder. We live by a very large body of water, and it takes a long while for the water to respond, about a month, and the air to respond. So usually we have our coldest temperatures a month after the solstice, and then it starts getting unpredictable but warmer overall. And then, we hit the vernal equinox, and that's when, again, the day length and the night length are the same. So I think it all comes down to we want to know when the lights are going to be on. We want to celebrate that change of pace in our daily lives. Sometimes I think people don't realize that maybe we don't depend on light quite as much, of course, as we used to. Now we have electricity, we can have light all the time. But I do think, I certainly notice it in my own rhythms, that it still impacts us, even though we have the choices of making a darker light as we choose.
I think people, I know I am one of them, as autumn progresses, I tend to want to nap. Mm-hmm. I tend to want to hibernate a little bit. I want to kind of hunker down. And if I were allowed to do that, if I didn't have a job and didn't have to interact with people, I probably would become much more reclusive mm-hmm. in the winter, and then the opposite as the spring comes and things open up. And it's, and when you think about it, of course, that's very natural.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. And so astronomically, when the equinox happens and we have that equal light, equal dark time, how do we tell that? How do we look? Does the sun look different? Does something happen where we we can precisely say, yes, this is the time when everything's exactly divided.
So the equinox, from a technical point of view, is a moment of time. It's a location, if you will, but more importantly, it's a moment of time. Of course, we go around the sun, right? But from a geocentric point of view, it looks as if the sun is going around us, right? Over the period, I'm not talking about during the course of the day, I'm talking over the course of a year. The sun would appear to travel through the constellations of the zodiac. So, and that's another story, but we call that path the ecliptic, which is another EC word, which is confusing, the ecliptic versus the equinox. But ecliptic just means this is the potential path that eclipses can happen. So to tie it to our mm-hmm. previous conversation in August, the ecliptic is where if the moon happens to be along the ecliptic, you have the potential for eclipses. So it turns out that the sun seems to be going around the ecliptic, but the Earth is tilted. So if our equator, so that's just the line that separates the northern hemisphere from the southern hemisphere, if the Earth was not tilted, then those two lines would correspond exactly. And that means that the two paths would be identical. However, that's not the case. So we separate because the Earth is tilted, we have what we call the celestial equator. So that's the projection of the Earth's equator onto the sky, if you will. Those two things are offset by about 23.5 degrees, which means that they touch. They come together during the equinoxes.
So those two paths basically intersect.
Intersect. And when they intersect, that is the equinox. And when they're farthest apart from each other, those are the solstices. Now, when we have, and as I said, we can predict precisely when that intersection happens. So, for example, tomorrow, that magic moment is going to be at 3:02 p.m. Central Time. So we know exactly when that intersection happens. And that determines the vernal equinox. And we can predict that for many, many years in the future because we understand celestial mechanics that well.
The thing is, though, is that we won't notice anything.
No. In our daily lives?
No, it won't. But it's happening.
I guess there are two things that you can observe within the comfort of your own home. And one is the difference that the length of the day, if you were to measure it, you would see that it was the same. But also, the position of the sun in the sky changes. So that what you will see is that the sun is going to rise due east and it's going to set due west. That doesn't happen on any other day except the two equinoxes.
Now, that I didn't know.
Yeah. So if you stand, let me back up a little bit. I talked about solstice meaning the sun stands still, and that means that the sun is going to stop moving from day to day in the sky. So in the equinoxes, the sun will rise due east, will set due west. The next day, it's going to rise a little south of east, and it's going to set south of west. And it'll continue that southward moment until the solstice, and then it's going to start, so it's going to pause there, and then it's going to start moving again northward until the summer solstice.
Okay. Yeah, and obviously that's over the years, how we've tracked and know when things are happening in the precise second.
Right.
That both solstices and equinoxes occur.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But you can also, as you said, you can do your own observations and figure out, aha, the sun rose in the east exactly and set this day.
So it's another way to use your compass.
It is. You can, I guess, calibrate it.
Which would be really cool to stand on the shore of Lake Michigan mm-hmm. and look exactly due east, and that's where the sun will be tomorrow morning.
That's right.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, thank you, Jean. This is always great. I always, always learn something, which is, I guess, is the whole point, isn't it?
I enjoy that you enthusiastically embrace what we discuss.
Me too. So we will talk again next month.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Jean Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium at UW-Milwaukee and our regular astronomy contributor.